Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is the gospel lesson that was read earlier. In that gospel, we hear a conversation between a man who was near the top of society, Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee and a member of the ruling council, the Sanhedrin, there in Jerusalem. He was a busy and important man. Well, there are many things that we can learn from Nicodemus. Eventually, he would be one of Jesus' most loyal disciples, even arranging to take Jesus' body from the cross and placing it in the tomb where it would lie until Jesus rose from the dead. Nicodemus shows us that not all of the Pharisees were evil hypocrites. There were many Pharisees that saw in Jesus the fulfillment of prophecy and by the Holy Spirit became one of Jesus' first disciples. Nicodemus was one of those. Well, today's gospel seems to be that first time that Jesus and Nicodemus talked. Nicodemus is not yet a Christian. And the conversation for this conversation, or the occasion for this conversation, is one of the many times that Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Passover. During his visit to the temple, chapter 2, Jesus performed some interesting signs. He had driven the dishonest money changers out of the temple. He also had a message that was faithful to God's word. So Nicodemus was curious. God was obviously with this teacher. The signs that he performed validated that. Was he simply a powerful preacher? Was he a prophet? Nicodemus wanted to know. Who was this man who created such an uproar in the temple and everywhere else he went? Nicodemus came to Jesus with a great deal of respect. He wasn't quite ready to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but he was ready to admit that he might be a great prophet. Even as a prophet, Jesus' words would be God's words. And the Holy Spirit inspired John to record this conversation. So we have the opportunity to learn about the work that each member of the Trinity does in our salvation. The Father loves us and sent his Son. The Son saves the world and offers forgiveness, life, and salvation to all. And the Holy Spirit establishes and maintains that faith that we receive and holds the gifts that the Son offers to give us. As Jesus began answering Nicodemus' questions, he actually worked his way from the end of the process of salvation back to the beginning. He began with the Holy Spirit's activity of establishing faith in us. We call this process conversion. The Holy Spirit converts people from spiritual death to spiritual life. Jesus said this process of conversion is a spiritual birth. After Nicodemus introduced himself, Jesus replied, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." After Nicodemus asked for more explanation, Jesus started over and added more details. He answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." We know Nicodemus' response. How can a man be born again? When we think about the natural process of childbirth, mom is there. She's doing a lot of work, an awful lot of work. The doctors are there. They're doing work. The attending nurses are doing work. The husband is standing there nervously, not sure what to do. Everybody's doing something, though, except for who? The baby. The baby experiences the birth, but he's not doing anything to assist in it. The baby doesn't even ask to be born. It's mom who's doing so much work, pushes the baby from the womb out into the world, but the baby doesn't do any work. And it's the same thing with spiritual birth. Although a great deal is happening to us and we experience it, We don't do anything to make it happen. We do not decide to follow Jesus. We do not choose Jesus. Jesus chooses us. Just as mom does all the work of physical birth, God does all the work of spiritual birth. When Jesus answered, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit," he was telling Nicodemus and us that just as mom brings a child into this physical world, the Holy Spirit brings Christians into the spiritual world with a spiritual birth. So then this faith, this new birth, this spiritual life is a gift and work of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle of God that he works in us. So what's the benefit? Why does God go through all the effort to produce faith in us? The benefit of conversion becomes clear when Jesus finished telling about the work of the Holy Spirit and moved on to the topic of his own work. Here he talks about himself in the third person, as he often did. He often called himself the Son of Man. And he had this to say about the Son of Man: "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." The first thing he told Nicodemus about himself was that he had descended from heaven, a very clear indication that the Son of Man is also the Son of God. The first benefit that Jesus revealed to Nicodemus was the knowledge that Jesus is both man and God. The benefit of conversion becomes even more clear when Jesus moved on to tell the work he would do as God and man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So here is the chief benefit that the Holy Spirit works in us through conversion: eternal life. Whoever believes has eternal life. And what do we believe? We confessed it a little while ago. We believe that Jesus was lifted up on the cross, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. We believe that by his suffering and death, Jesus won eternal life for us, that he offers it to us as a gift, and we receive that gift by faith, the gift that the Holy Spirit works in us, a new spiritual birth. Here Jesus tells Nicodemus that only faith in him can save. Nicodemus can try to keep the laws of Moses until he perishes from the effort. Nevertheless, it will do him no good as far as eternal life is concerned. It is the same for us. We can try to follow the Ten Commandments, but we break them continuously each day. So where is the Father in all of this? He is the one who loves, gives, and sends. For God so loved the world, not just Missouri Synod Lutherans, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So here is the work of the Father. He loves us, and he sacrifices his only begotten Son to die for us. We cannot understand that kind of love. After all, we are the greatest corrupting influence in all of creation. We are entirely unlovable. Nevertheless, God loves us. His love forced him to act on our behalf. In his love, he sent Jesus into this world to become our substitute. He sent his Son into the world to be lifted up on the cross in order that the world might be saved through him. In this conversation, Jesus gave Nicodemus a lot to think about, more than we have time to consider today. He explained that it is the new birth by the Holy Spirit that gives us the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation that his Son earned on the cross. He proclaimed the Father's love that he sacrificed his only begotten Son for us. And with these words, Jesus explained the kingdom of God does not come to Nicodemus because he is a descendant of Abraham, but because the Holy Spirit gives him the same faith that Abraham had. The Holy Spirit used Jesus' words just as he always does. He overcame the pride of Nicodemus. He softened Nicodemus' heart. Eventually, Nicodemus experienced the new birth as the Holy Spirit established faith in him. Nicodemus proclaimed his faith with his actions. Remember, after Jesus died, it was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea that went to Pilate and asked permission to bury the body of Jesus. Nicodemus helped place Jesus' body in the tomb. And what a joy it must have been for Nicodemus when he learned that that body was no longer in the tomb, but that it had, that his Savior had risen from the dead. And what a joy it is for Nicodemus that he will forever enjoy the kingdom of God that he received through the Holy Spirit's gift of faith. And what a joy it is for us that we also have that Holy Spirit's gift of new life, and that we also will share with Nicodemus in that day at the throne of God forever in heaven. Amen.